You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Coming parade is charged with murder. Police in Stillwater, Oklahoma say Adacia Chambers is facing four counts of second-degree murder and will be in court later today. Chambers is accused of driving into Oklahoma State's homecoming parade Saturday. In addition to the four people killed, nearly 50 were hurt. The attorney representing Chambers says she's mentally ill. Louisiana and Mississippi are bracing for heavy rain and flooding today. A flash flood watch is out for New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and southern Mississippi. Weather forecasters say some places around New Orleans could get more than a half a foot of rain. The storm is remnants of Hurricane Patricia, which brought heavy rains that led to flooding in Texas over the weekend. The death toll is well over 100 and climbing after a powerful earthquake shook Afghanistan and Pakistan along with parts of India. The magnitude 7.5 quake was centered in northeastern Afghanistan. The earth shook for about 45 seconds in the Afghan capital of Kabul. You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you know the government is scheming to seize your retirement and bank accounts? Hi. David Fisher, CEO of Landmark Capital Gold Group. Get the facts in a white paper called How to Protect Your Retirement and Bank Accounts from Government Seizure. Transfer your 401k or IRA into physical gold and silver and take possession with no tax liability. Call Landmark Capital at 844-715-9411. That's 844-715-9411 or landmarkgold.com.
An agreement has been reached to help ease the tensions between the members of the European Union over the issue of how to cope with the refugee crisis. John Clemens reports.
The refugee crisis had threatened to split many of the nations as how to show solidarity amid the estimated 680,000 who have crossed to Europe by sea so far this year. Thousands of others have perished at sea. EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini said the complicated agreement is a framework as to how to handle the crisis.
What is at stake here is the coherence of our response to a crisis that is not going to disappear anytime soon.
Many had feared the crisis, said to be the worst since World War II, would soon become a humanitarian disaster with winter only a short time away. I'm John Clemens.
You might want to put down that pork today. The World Health Organization says bacon, hot dogs, and other processed meats cause cancer. The organization's research division says eating red meat probably is an invitation to cancer, too. The report released today is based on work by a 22-member panel of international experts who reviewed decades of research on possible links between processed meats, red meat, and cancer. Still, not all members of the panel agree. A number of scientists, including some who are not affiliated with the meat industry, question whether the evidence is solid enough to draw such sweeping conclusions. And Jeb Bush is continuing efforts to revive his struggling campaign. Bush will soon release a new ebook called Reply All, talking about his two terms as governor of Florida. You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. The weather today is going to be sunny with a high near 60, north winds 5 to 7 miles per hour. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low around 34 with calm winds. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 58, Calm winds becoming east around 5 miles an hour in the afternoon. Tuesday night, there's a chance of rain, mainly after 2 a.m. Be mostly cloudy with a low around 45. East winds 3 to 6 miles an hour, and a chance of precipitation is 50%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch. Wednesday, rain, mainly after 8 a.m., and we certainly could use it. The rain could be heavy at times, high near 65. East winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 90%. And the new precipitation amounts between a half and three quarters of an inch are possible. Wednesday night, showers and a possible thunderstorm before 1 a.m., then showers likely. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain. There'll be a low around 57, and the chance of precipitation is 100%. New rainfall amounts between a half and three quarters of an inch is possible. We certainly could use the rain. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and this is NAMI's hour, compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office. We have no paid staff. We work out of our houses. And we try to help people and families who have someone either in their family or they themselves who have a mental health issue. And we do this by a number of ways. One of them, we run a support group monthly for families so that they can come and they have some place to go and talk about their problem amongst people who understand and who have been there. Some of us have been through the whole thing that they're going through, and some of the people that are there are going through exactly what they're going through. We also teach what they call a family-to-family class. I happen to be a teacher, and my wife's a teacher also, and in the last 10 years, we taught twice together. We like staying married, so we don't, you guys out there know what I'm talking about. But anyway, family-to-family is a 12-week course, which enlightens the person who has someone in their family or someone they know or someone they work with or good friends with who has a mental illness. And it tries to teach the family and that person, supporting person, what that person is going through, the medications, et cetera, the side effects, and so on and so forth. It is all free. Everything NAMI does is free. There is no charge. There's also a basics class for families who have children under the age of 18 who are suffering from some sort of mental health issues. We have a program called Educating the Educators because a lot of times with today's economy, parents are both working and or may not get home and to see a lot of their kids, and the teachers who see them 5-6 hours a day are probably more apt to recognize a child, boy or girl, it doesn't matter, who may be going off the path that they were on. So we have that. We also have teaching law enforcement, not to how they do their job, but to enlighten them a little bit about what mental illness is and how people react and what's a better way of approaching someone with mental illness rather than slamming them on the ground and slapping cuffs on them, although sometimes that is necessary, but a lot of times it's not. And a lot of times the officers who have been educated a little bit about mental illness react differently, and which is good to see. Today we are very privileged to have with us Susie Gookin.
Yes.
Did I say it right?
You did.
All right. I'm getting better.
You did.
Okay. It only took me about, you know, I don't know how many times practicing it at home, but Susie is a teacher. She teaches band and orchestra and music in general. And she also suffers from PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, and TBI, which is traumatic brain injury.
Correct.
Correct? Got it right. Okay. Acronyms are, you know, there was a time on a mental health board in Hunterdon County when I was, I'm on it now again, but when I was on the last time, and they gave us a booklet with about, you know, 3/4 of an inch thick of all the acronyms, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me, really? You know. But anyway, Susie has been a teacher for 12 years. And do you play an instrument too, or are you piano? I think you told me.
I do. I play many instruments. Everything that I teach, I play.
Oh.
But clarinet was my main instrument.
Okay.
That's what I majored in college.
And you learned piano when at a very young age, from what you told me before.
Yes, from what my mom dabbled
in
with
it.
Me.
You know.
Yes.
Okay. And so pretty much whatever you teach, you play.
Correct.
That could be a long list of instruments, couldn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yes.
You're a one-man orchestra, actually. But that's good, you know, because
sure.
if you're teaching somebody something and you don't know how to play the instrument you're trying to teach them, you know, how do you teach them? You know, it's
right.
You know, that's why, and it's pretty similar to like us teaching family to family. Every one mm-hmm. of our teachers has someone in their family who has a mental illness
sure.
and have gone through some of the problems and tortures and what have you that face a family. So when we teach it, it's not like we're just some suit going in and talking about it. We
right.
actually have lived it, and you have also. So if you can play the instrument, that's awesome. You wrote a book.
I did.
And I read it, and I was very thrilled with it. In fact, I didn't put it down. I read the whole thing cover to cover in one sitting, which is unusual for me. You know, but I do a lot of reading, but not, you know, cover to cover right away.
Right.
So I was very impressed. And it's called Camouflaged Heart.
Correct.
And what is it about?
The Camouflaged Heart is about my personal experiences as a civilian, dealing with PTSD and traumatic brain injury. I was injured in a couple of car accidents, and it tells about the story of what happened, how I discovered what was wrong with me, and the process I went through in recovery. But it also parallels it with the many soldiers that I met volunteering down at the Warrior Transition Unit medical hold at Joint Base McGuire Dixley-Kirst. And it parallels the experiences as a civilian with the lessons and wisdom that I learned from the soldiers.
Now, you said you were in two separate car accidents, correct?
Yes.
They weren't major accidents from what I read and I understood, were they?
No, they were not major at all. I didn't have any external physical injuries. And actually, after the first accident, I thought I was okay. I hit a deer and the car was drivable. I was able to go home. I
mm-hmm.
even got up and played a concert the next day. But by that evening, I started to feel headachy. Strange. I thought that maybe I had just overdid it
right.
during the day.
Right.
Maybe I shouldn't have played that concert after being a little shaken up. But I really thought that I was okay. But by the next morning, I was slurring my speech, and my short-term memory was now impaired, and I went to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. And then shortly thereafter, you had another accident.
I did. About 2 months later, I ended up having another freak accident. Again, no external physical injuries. The hood of my car actually came unlatched while I was on the highway.
Wow.
Not
That's
really
scary.
Sure. Yes. Not really sure how that happened, but it did, and it threw me off the road. I don't remember blacking out. I'm not sure what happened exactly. I don't mm-hmm. have any memory of the accident, but I was able to tell the state trooper at the time what had happened, but that's about all I know
right.
of it.
And when you, well, we're assuming, I guess, that when you had the accident, your head went forward and back because of the impact, and this had an effect on your brain.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't, you know, really wasn't like a bang to the head or anything like that. It was just pretty much just your head going forward and back because of the impact of the accidents.
Correct.
And that's, you know, it's not scary, actually, you know, when you think about it, because, you know, you think about head injury, you think about, you fell down, you banged your head, you went
right.
down a flight of stairs, you bumped into a concrete wall, whatever the case may be. You don't think about just shaking your head forward and back, you know.
Right.
It just, you know, it's
It's unusual, I would think. Maybe not. You know, I don't know. But right. I mean, you know, not being a doctor and specializing in that, I think that would be probably unusual, because I think most trauma to the head is caused by something, you know, banging it or hitting it or whatever. So what led you to write your story?
Well, I had volunteered at Joint Base McGuire-Dix Lakehurst for about 9 years. And
this was prior to the accident?
This was after the accident. Oh, okay. This was 5 years after the accidents. And I had been going through a very tough time since the accidents had happened. But about the time I started volunteering at the base, I had also started counseling and started to really get to the bottom of what was really going wrong for me. But being with the soldiers, I started learning their stories and paying attention to what they were saying coming back from the war and the many injuries and experiences they had with head injuries and PTSD. And each time I would come away thinking, they sound like me, but I had never been to war and I'm certainly just a civilian. But then they started to ask me, why was I there? Why was I so intent on listening to them? They wanted to know why I was giving up my time to be there. Lots of people like to help, but I seem to have something else going on about me. And I said that I had been in car accidents, and they encouraged me to tell them more. And as I told them more, they started to say that there was common ground here,
right,
that they were hearing the same things I was hearing, but we had different experiences. But we certainly found common ground, not only in the suffering from the injuries, but also in the recovery of it. So over time, they began to tell me that I should be writing a book, that what I was telling them mattered, and they thought that it could help other people.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I didn't want to talk to anybody else.
Well, I can understand
I wasn't prepared to write a book, and I would just kind of brush off the statement. But about 3 years ago, I was asked to do a presentation at the base, a formal presentation based on what happened to me, because the commander at the time thought that what she was learning from me was really important for her soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the presentation, and then I was asked back to teach NCOs, which are non-commissioned officers.
Right.
And then after
I
that,
was in the military, so
okay.
I know that.
Yeah. And then I was also asked to teach officers, and all the groups had said to me that this is important information. What I'm sharing can help other people. And a week later, I woke up early in the morning. I remember the day very clearly. It was 6 a.m. And I woke up out of a sound sleep, and I said, that's the book the soldiers keep telling me about. So I wrote for about 6 hours, and I had 14 chapters, and scared myself because I had a book.
Right, right. And, you know, myself and this other lady, we do presentations, and we do a monthly one at Educational Services. And she's big on PowerPoint and all that jazz,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, she does. I have a hard enough time with the board in front of me here, you know. But anyway, one of the things that we talk about is post-traumatic stress. And it was a time prior to post-traumatic stress that it was called shell shock.
Sure.
And it was from, like, World War II and Korea. And it was pretty much limited to soldiers.
Right.
Now, it's opened up because Hurricane Sandy, people lost their houses, everything they owned. That could cause PTSD or post-traumatic stress. Sexual assaults.
Sure.
Violence of any sort. You know, being beaten in a robbery or whatever.
Yes.
Can cause it. Things like 9/11.
Absolutely.
Can cause it. So it's not just soldiers or military anymore. It is definitely still military, but it's spread out to the civilian population also.
Sure.
And that's why I think what you're doing is awesome, and keep it up. Because no, seriously,
well,
because I think that, you know, it's very... For the military soldiers to accept you, okay, as a civilian who never served, and you are on the same page as they are, I think that's awesome, okay, because they find it hard to accept people who haven't been there and done that.
Absolutely.
Okay. I won't say not too long ago, but it's been a few months ago. A woman called me and said her son just come back from Afghanistan and Iraq, and he won't leave his room.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed in his room. He won't talk to her. He won't come out for dinner. He won't, you know, he stays there. And he won't talk. And I said to her, well, why don't you see if he'll talk to me? She says, why would he talk to you? He won't talk to me. I'm his mother. I says, yeah, but I'm a veteran. Okay.
Right.
I says, true, I wasn't in Iraq or Afghanistan, but Vietnam was pretty similar, you know.
Right.
We're walking through rice paddies, they're walking through deserts. So, you know.
Sure.
So she went in. About 5 minutes later, he gets on the phone. And we talk for, I don't know, must have been an hour. And I finally convinced him that he should go to Lyons Hospital. And he did. And last I heard, he's still going there and has improved greatly. He's getting his life back, you know. So a lot of times it's, you know, who you talk to.
Right.
Not necessarily, all right, in his case, it was he wouldn't talk to his mother because she didn't know basically what he went through. And I don't know what he went through because what I went through was different than what he went through.
Sure.
But in the background, it's still the same because we've seen pretty much the same things. You
right.
know, what he saw over there, I saw where I was. So it's, you know, and I think it's rewarding when something like that. So you must feel very privileged to talk to these people and see them recovering a lot of times because you're talking to them, because you're sharing the same thing that they sometimes have bottled up inside them and have nobody to let it out to.
Yes.
And a lot of times they let it out to you. Is that correct?
That is true.
Okay. So
that is true.
Yeah. No. And I think it's wonderful, you know, because you're helping people.
Right.
And that's what it's all about.
Sure.
You know, I mean, yeah, you're helping people with your job, you know, band and orchestra and everything. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's great. I'm not, you know, knocking that at all.
Sure.
But what you're doing on the side, you're helping people who really, really need the help.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not saying that they don't get it at, you know, Lyons or Fort McGuire Air Force Base or
right.
Fort Dix or whatever.
Right.
But you are helping them because it's one-on-one, you know.
Sure.
And you can relate to what they're going through.
Right.
You know. So I think that's pretty wonderful. Now, my next question, which I already know the answer to, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Did you have any apprehensions about sharing your story with the world?
Oh, I did. I think I still do. There was a lot of apprehension. Not unlike the soldiers. Nobody wants to be judged for where they've been and what they've been through. Wherever it is that they've been or whatever it is that they've been through, that fear of being judged, especially when you have invisible injuries.
Mm.
These are injuries that can't be seen by right. other people, but when right. you look in the mirror, you can certainly see them. You know exactly where they're being harbored, and it's like you can see them with your own eyes,
right.
but the rest of the world can't. So walking out in the world and saying that you have PTSD or you have traumatic brain injury, but yet to the rest of the world, you seem to appear normal.
Whatever normal is.
Whatever normal is,
yeah, right?
I'm not sure what that is.
I'm not sure either.
I've made my own new normal, yeah. my own personal normal. But that's a really, really tough thing to face. And our troops face it coming home from the wars. And whether it's a war zone or maybe it's another kind of deployment, I've met soldiers who have not been to Iraq and Afghanistan who come home who weren't part of the quote-unquote war effort, but they were doing other jobs. And they're facing judgments of, right. of their own, but the judgment is just a huge issue, you know, dealing with that with the public and just with families and things like that and friends, and also just acknowledging that you have this and being able to own it, I think, is all part of that apprehension too. And how will people respond? and just things like that
right.
are part of all the apprehension that went into all of this.
Do you know that the biggest percentage of military vets who suffer from PTSD never saw combat?
I believe that.
That's fact.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fact. We do research before we do this pinpoint or PowerPoint
sure.
thing, you know. Pinpoint, yeah, I'm all right. See what I mean? You know, that's why she does it.
You can call it you know. Pinpoint.
Yeah, that's why, pardon me, that's why my partner does it, not me. But it's fact.
Sure.
The biggest percentage of soldiers, sailors, airmen, whoever, who come back, male or female, and suffer from PTSD, have never seen combat.
Right.
And what's scary is that veterans, police officers, and EMTs commit suicide at a higher percentage than any other population.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that is scary. That is why they have a program called Vet to Vet.
Yes, I've heard of it.
You've heard of it? Okay.
Yes, I have.
The lady I do the PowerPoint thing with, she works 2 days a week there, and it's called Mom to Mom, mm-hmm. what she does.
Sure.
But it's in the same room, and there's Cop to Cop, I think, is the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, the cops who man the phones are retired. Because if a police officer on active duty calls and says that they're considering suicide or anything like that, if the person they're talking to is an actual police officer on duty, then they have to report them. Retired
right.
police officers don't.
Mm-hmm.
They can
sure.
you know, talk to them and stuff. Vets are all retired vets or have been vets or somebody like mm-hmm. me who's been in the service. And, you know, like her, she's a mother of a child that has, well, a child of 26 now, but still a child to me,
right.
you know, but, you know, who has mental health issues and stuff. So,
yeah.
you know, and it's just nice to know that there is a thing, you know, called Vet to Vet or Cop to
right.
Cop or whatever, Mom to Mom. So, you know, it's, you know, I think it's interesting, you know, and I think that the more that people such as yourself or people who are involved with NAMI can get the word out and erase the stigma that's attached to all of these, whether it's PTSD, whether it's brain injury, whatever. You know, it's I often say we have four children and my youngest son has schizophrenia. And I often say if my son had diabetes, heart disease, whatever. People would say, oh, Larry, what a shame. You know, how can we help? You know, but you say that he has a mental health issue and everybody takes two steps back and, you know,
mm-hmm.
And that's the stigma that's involved
yes.
with it. And ironically enough, it's a proven fact that people with mental illness are more apt to be the subject of a crime, the victim of a crime, rather than the perpetrator.
Mm.
But, you know, all you hear about is the isolated cases of, you know,
mm-hmm.
bad news, you know. So how's the stigma of having invisible injuries affected you or impacted you in any way?
Well, it's impacted me quite a bit. And this was something I talked a lot about with the soldiers when I was really getting into the idea of putting the book out there. I talked to a number of them after I had written it, saying, I have this, I want to put it out there, but I'm terrified of doing it. Because you worry about, again, being judged, but also I'm a public school teacher.
Right.
And my job means a lot to me. Not just because it's my paycheck and my livelihood, but because I care about the kids that I teach.
Sure.
And I'm their role model. And I take what I do seriously because I'm shaping their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I never wanted to be looked at as not being capable of doing that. I also didn't want special treatment. I didn't want excuses being made if, you know, something didn't get done, or if I misplaced a paper or something like that, little things. To me, I had my own standards to hold myself to, and I didn't want any way made for that. So putting it out there that I'm a teacher who struggles with this and has struggled with it for 15 years now is a really big deal, and it scared me. But what ended up happening was it was embraced. It was embraced by the people I work with. It was embraced by parents, and it was embraced by my students, who some of them have actually read the book.
That's awesome.
And I was able to actually have some really positive conversations with them mm-hmm. about the challenges I faced. Because when I look at my students, many of them do have their own challenges, whether they're physical, mental, or maybe just learning disabilities. I look at them and I know what their weaknesses are, but I like to help them embrace and find the things that are really positive and strong in them and use those to build up their weaknesses rather than focusing on the weakness and not really paying much attention to the strength because this is how I learned to get better. Mm-hmm. I learned how to focus on what is good in me, what is strong in me. And it's what the soldiers often would point out to me. Mm-hmm. And the more they kept pointing things out to me, saying, you've got this, you can do this, the stronger I became. And I find that that same approach applies to my students at school.
Sure, sure. It's awesome. Unfortunately, I have to take a break. So you're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary. Humanity in motion.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 For more information about any of our programs or to join, NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're privileged today to have with us Susie Gookin. Did I say it right?
You did.
That's two times. Boy, I'll tell you. If I was a baseball player, I'd be making millions. Two for two is 1,000, you know. pardon me. But we have been talking. Susie is a teacher and teaches band and orchestra, and she's been a teacher for 12 years, and she has a traumatic brain injury from two minor car accidents and has PTSD. And she was explaining before about going to, what was it, Fort Dix?
Yes.
Which is not far from McGuire Air Force Base. And talking to the vets who have come back from Iraq and Afghanistan and you know, the role that they played in her recovery, which is still going on, because every day when you have things like this, you're in recovery. You have good days and bad days, you know.
Sure.
And because I know from my son's experience that, you know. But you also teach trauma-sensitive meditation.
Yes.
Would you explain that?
Well, I'm a Warriors at Ease certified meditation teacher, so I've been trained by veterans on how to teach meditation to veterans. So trauma-sensitive meditation takes into account the different things that can trigger someone who's been through a traumatic experience, whether it be war, sexual assault, or other traumatic situations. And I'm taught to pay attention to those triggers and to how they respond. And I've been taught the brain science behind how and why the body processes stress the way that it does. So when I teach meditation, what we're doing is trying to get people to be in the rest and digest mode of the nervous system so that we can have them feel more relaxed. Because when you have PTSD or other anxiety issues, it's not healthy for us to be stressed out all the time. And it's not healthy to constantly feel like we're in danger. It's not healthy for the body, because we know that stress can lead to different ailments and things like that. So trauma-sensitive meditation helps to train a new pathway in the brain to help people to be able to feel more relaxed and more at ease when they should be able to.
You know, I probably have this all wrong, but I picture a meditation group as sitting, you know, down with the legs crossed and,
sure,
you know, and
sure,
totally quiet and no noise. And I don't know if I could do that, because I'd be looking around like,
right,
you know.
Right. That is one of the many misconceptions about meditation, and that is actually one of the things that I teach. I always like to tell the troops that I have a very no hoo-ha approach. It's very down to earth. It's very basic. You don't have to sit any special way. You don't have to stop your thoughts. You're allowed to have thoughts. And basically what I'm doing is facilitating a focus for you. So there's
focus, meaning focus on recovering or focus on
focusing on either your breathing,
okay,
to help you. What we're trying to do is try to get you into the present moment, because when you have PTSD, your brain is, reliving past experiences.
Right.
You're stuck in a different time.
Right.
And it also, for me, it also cut off the future. So it's very, very lost in time. So meditation, as I practice it every day myself, meditation helps you to get into the present moment. And in the present moment, you and I are sitting here and we're safe. We're safe sitting here chatting with each other.
Right.
We should be able to feel that. But with PTSD, we don't always feel that safety.
Okay.
So it teaches us how to be able to be present and to tap into the calmness that's inside of us that still exists.
And that's part of stress management?
Sure. Yes.
in other words, managing the stress that you're under. That could actually be the average person, because the average person has stress too.
Yeah, absolutely. Meditation is something that all people can do. One of the other misconceptions with it is that it's only reserved for maybe a certain group of people, or maybe a certain religion, or maybe a certain practice. But really what it comes down to is every person can access it. Every person has the ability and the potential to be able to get into that quiet space. That's where we hear our inner voice. That's where we can really listen to our gut when we get into that quiet space. So meditation is something everyone can do. And I've taught many different kinds of groups of people. I have worked with Hurricane Sandy victims. I've worked with police officers, soldiers who've been to war, soldiers who haven't been to war. I've also worked with people who have had brain tumors, and I've taught at brain injury clinics. Everyone that I've ever taught has been able to be successful with meditation. It just takes the right kind of guidance to be able to do it. And it's a practice. It's not something you just do once and it's magically takes all your stress away. It's a cultivated practice because you're training a new pathway in the brain.
There's someone... A friend of mine had someone on a show that he does that was into meditation, or she taught meditation like you do. And she says, you know, just go out on your deck and listen to the birds and listen to the quietness. And I says, really? And she says, yeah. She says, try it. Just go out on your deck, sit on your deck. If you have a deck, I says, yeah, I have a big deck on the back. She says, go out, sit in the back. She goes, because you said you live in the woods. And listen to the birds and listen to the quietness, listen to what's going on around you, you know, and just meditate and, you know, be quiet. I had trouble doing that because as soon as the birds started, I'm looking around, you know, like, where are they, you know? But I would think that if it was in a room or something like that, that the outside noises wouldn't come in, that it would be a lot easier, I would think, to, you know.
Well, the way that I teach meditation is that we actually welcome sounds because we can't turn off the rest of the world. And we certainly can't turn off our thoughts or turn off our brain. It's designed to think. It's been thinking our whole life. So all of these things are always going to be present and active in our lives. But with meditation, we're learning to cultivate a focus. So by cultivating that focus, we can still acknowledge that those things exist around us, but they're not all drawing our attention all at once. We're zeroing in our attention.
Now, did the soldiers convince you to do meditation or learn how to do meditation? Or how'd you come to the decision that you're going to teach it?
Well, I had... gone to take a special kind of meditation class called Yoga Nidra, and it means yoga sleep or yogic sleep. And it was something that I had read had been adapted for the military. In its traditional form, it's not recommended for military, but it's been adapted into something called IRAST, which is a completely different program than what I do. I'm not certified in that. But I have done some reading about it. So I started going to this Yoga Nidra class, and it was a different kind of meditation for me, and I was able to do it. When I had tried meditation years earlier, and I would go to yoga classes, and I felt like I wanted to jump out of my skin because I had a hard time with silence. I was completely overstimulated from the brain injury issues, but then I was terrified of the silence because a lot of negative kinds of thoughts were coming up. So I was caught between a rock and a hard place with too much noise, too much stimulation, but terrified of silence. And I would hear that a lot from the soldiers too. But when I started taking this class that one summer, I went back to them and I said, you know, guys, I started taking this class and something feels different. I felt calm and quiet afterwards, and I don't understand why this worked and something else didn't. But I kept going back for more because I thought I finally accessed something. As I started to go back and tell them this positive experience, they started to notice there were things that were different about me. They started to feel a change in the energy I was giving off. And they said, well, when are you going to teach us? I said, well, I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that. Right. I'm just like one step in the door with this. I don't know how to even, I'm not a yoga teacher. I don't know how I go about that. Well, as many of the wonderful things have happened in my life in the last 3 years, the door just burst open and there it all was. The Warriors at Ease program, the McLean Meditation Institute program, all of these things just started unfolding. And as they picked up momentum, the soldiers were very quietly cheering me on with all of this, saying, we want to know what you're doing and we want to learn from you. And I did end up getting to teach on the base. I did have that opportunity because the commander at the time was a wonderful person who also believed very much in me. And she's someone I wrote about in the book. And with her guidance and support and her willingness to bring in my expertise, it was a really great experience that the soldiers really connected with. And they had never meditated before. They weren't sure they could do it, but they were willing to give me a shot.
I could understand that.
And they meditated for 45 minutes. And they hadn't realized how much time had passed. And that's the amazing thing with meditation. You don't realize the impact at first. You come out of it and you know something happened, something shifted.
Right, right. And this is the meditation part of it, Peaceful Warriors?
Peaceful Warriors is my business. I ended up opening my own business to help people who have been through traumatic experiences.
And, and some of the benefits, stress reduction, boost working memory, increases ability to focus, less emotional reactivity, increased cognitive flexibility, increased immune function. What do you mean by immune function?
When we are not stressed out all the time and we're in a state of calmness, our body can work at its optimal. And our immune system can do the job it's there to do. When we're under extreme stress all the time, like many people with PTSD are, stress inhibits the natural systems in our body, and it affects the immune system.
Meditation a lot of times is connected with religion.
Sure.
And I'm assuming yours is not.
No.
Okay. Not that it's bad that it's connected with religion, but it's just not the way you do it.
Right.
Correct.
That's correct. Okay.
When someone is suffering from a mental health issue, mental illness, can the trauma-sensitive meditation help them? Or, how does it help them, then, I guess is the question.
Well,
or does it help them,
Well, it can. What happens is you learn how to do the practice of meditation. And like I said, when we're in that state of stress every day, we can't think clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for us to be responsive as opposed to reactive. Stress makes us very reactive. So we're not really thinking clearly about decisions that we're making. We should be making decisions from a place of, calmness and centeredness so that we're thinking clearly about whatever the issue is. So doing meditation from day to day helps you to get to that calm state, that rest and digest, so you're able to process things in a way that's responsive as opposed to being reactive.
Okay. If someone has a mental health issue, a lot of times they can't concentrate for any length of time. How does that affect meditation and stuff?
Sure. I had that problem myself. I had a very hard time with focus, and I also have significant memory loss. I didn't mention that earlier, but I lost 20 years of memory. So I don't remember anything prior to age 20. And I also had short-term memory loss. So all of that played into focusing and being able to process a lot of information coming at me all at once, because a lot of things were very new to me. So meditation helps to be able to provide a focus when there isn't one already, because many times when we're under extreme amounts of stress, we have a lot of things hitting us at once that we can't, it's hard to focus on just one. But being guided through meditation with the support of a, you know, a qualified teacher, it gives you the opportunity to allow all those other thoughts and that lack of focus to be present. And then the teacher just guides you into bringing your attention back to my voice, bringing the attention back to the breath. So each time you bounce back out to one of those other thoughts or all those other things going on in your brain, we're guiding you back to the center.
Now, you said you have no memory of the first 20 years of your life.
Correct.
Does your family say, well, when you were 6, you did this, or 8, you did that? I can understand you not remembering it, but is it helpful when they say things like that? Or is it just better to leave it alone?
Well, it's been a mixed,
in your case.
Yes, it's been a very mixed, what's the word I'm looking for? A mixed experience, I guess, for me. There was a point in time where I wanted to know things.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the things that I can tell you, like I can tell you that I would go and start playing the piano when I was 3, but I don't remember that. That's information that's been filled in by my family. I can tell people a lot of things from my childhood because it gets stored as new information, but there's no connection. I know what a memory is, and there's no connection to these things. It's just a story, information that I know that I can share with you. And for a while I did want to know things, and my family made albums for me and would, talk me through, pictures and tell me things. And even now they still do occasionally, but I think now 15 years later, I'm at the point where I realize what isn't there is no longer necessary. It's not going to impact or change how I live my life now. It doesn't change anything for me. I'm just moving forward and I'm embracing all the new things that are here for me now and how I know my family now. The only really drawback with all of this is that, you know, I lost my dad when I was 15. Mm-hmm. And I was the one who came from school and found him. And with that, I don't remember that.
Okay.
So memory loss can be a burden, but it can also be a blessing. So the way that I know my dad is that I know he was a soldier. I know he was a drill instructor at Fort Dix. So for me to be out there with all those soldiers, that's a connection for me to him.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
How did your family react to all this?
My mom has always been right there at my side. She saw a lot of confusion and she was absolutely always there making sure that I was taken care of. She didn't always have all the answers.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Made me keep searching for answers.
Mm-hmm.
She kept pushing me. She kept me in school. She called me all the time to check in on me. She would come to visit all the time. She was constantly trying to come up with tools for me to use, whether it was, you know, color coding sticky notes in the house or teaching me how to pay my bills or whatever it was, she was willing to do whatever she had in her power to help guide me and steer me. I think, you know, for my brothers and my sister, it was a little more challenging. It's hard to look at your sister and think, gosh, she doesn't remember us growing up or she doesn't remember dad or, you know, those things are hard.
Right. Of course.
That's really hard.
Right.
And I don't think you ever quite wrap your brain around that.
Right. Right. Real quickly, we have about 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What guidance can you give others who may be suffering from the same conditions or similar conditions as you are?
It's important to know that healing doesn't come from just one avenue. It comes from many different avenues. You have to support the mind, the body, and the spirit. And it's never just going to be just one doctor that fixes you or one counselor listening to you that fixes you or one meditation session that does the trick. I've used multiple different avenues to help me. It took doctors, it took counselors, it took trying meditation, it took trying yoga. I'm now studying the effects of aromatherapy on the brain and memory. There's a lot of different avenues out there. There's also Reiki, there's acupuncture, and the military is starting to really open up to these kinds of things, and we're realizing that healing comes in so many forms that you can't just give up if one thing doesn't work. You have to keep looking and keep educating yourself and keep moving forward, because healing isn't a destination. It's something that will continue to evolve with you through your whole life.
It's funny you mentioned acupuncture. I do a show after this, the Medical Center's Hour, and they had an acupuncturist come on. And she says, while we're on the air, can I give you acupuncture? Okay, if that's what you want. Well, she stuck, you know, needles in me and all of it, and stuck one in the top of my head. Never felt a thing, you know. It was just pretty awesome she stuck all these needles in me, and I never felt it, you know. But when you said acupuncture, it just, you know, brought that up. If someone wanted to join your, you know, Peaceful Warriors or be meditated or learn how to meditate with you, how would they go about it? Do you have an email that you could?
Sure. I have an email and I also have a website.
Okay.
The
you can give both.
Sure. The email address is peacefulwarriormeditation@yahoo.com. And the website is www.peacefulwarriormeditation.us.
Why don't you give it again in case they're still writing it? You know?
Sure. It's a long one. Okay, the email is peacefulwarriormeditation@yahoo.com. And the website is www.peacefulwarriormeditation.us.
Susie, I can't thank you enough. We're out of time, and it just goes, we're so quick. But I will promise you this. I will reach out to you again and have you back on the show again.
I appreciate it.
Because I think that what you're doing is awesome. And you're helping people. And I think that's what it's all about. And, you know, I really mean it. I think that what you're doing is awesome. Don't stop. Okay.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Mental Health Matters. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. We'll see you again next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. An afternoon of whale watching turned deadly after a boat sank in Canada. A tour boat carrying 27 people went down near Vancouver Island Sunday afternoon, killing at least 5 people. In addition to those who lost their lives, several others were taken to the hospital. The cause of the accident is not known at this time. Donald Trump says he's still the front runner in Iowa, no matter what the polls say. During a pancakes and politics town hall meeting in New Hampshire on NBC's Today, Trump said he has doubts about the validity of the Iowa polls that now put Ben Carson in front. He then proceeded to call Carson a low-energy candidate. Trump took questions from a small audience pertaining to foreign relations in the Middle East and Russia, the Mexican border, his hair, and the refugee crisis in Syria. And parts of the Deep South are under flood watches today as what's left of Hurricane Patricia moves eastward. The storm system dumped record amounts of rainfall on southeastern Texas over the weekend. You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you know the government is scheming to seize your retirement and bank accounts? Hi.
David Fisher, CEO of Landmark Capital Gold Group. Get the facts in a white paper called How to Protect Your Retirement and Bank Accounts from Government Seizure. Transfer your 401k or IRA into physical gold and silver and take possession with no tax liability. Call Landmark Capital at 844-715-9411. That's 844-715-9411 or landmarkgold.com.
You hear that, kid? That's the hum of a well-run facility. You know what I hate hearing?